I am a roving forgotten. You need not know my name. I traveled all around the world and went all sunlight away. Of all the places I have been, as well I would compare. With dear old Karen Waterside and my friends and loved ones are there.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
All I want is a bag of cans and Calvin Miller back. That's how I'm feeling after the defeat against St Mirren and our first game of this season at the Falkirk Stadium in the league. This is Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk Football Club podcast. I am John McNally, and I am joined, as ever, by the Ginger God Pod himself. It is Ross Wayne. Hello. It's just that noise in the... How many times have you made that noise between 5 o'clock yesterday and this morning?
I was a bit like a bear with a sore head last night, to be honest.
I've warned the wife, as you know, Jillian, your wife is at the game yesterday, but I have now Siobhan has got two of us to deal with. Not only me, but she's also got my son Finlay to deal with now as well. And like I've warned her, I said, you know the last 3 years, how it's been like walking in, skipping in. Oh, what a Saturday, what a time to be alive. That's not going to be like that this season, I don't think. Listen, it's early days.
It's early days.
We're not pushing the panic button, as John McGuinn advises not to. We'll be fine. We're fine.
It's like we can hover the finger over the button, but we're not pressing it yet.
It's like that episode of Friends where Ross is like, I'm fine. It's very much like that. But no, we're fine. We'll talk about this. There's a lot to talk about when we get to the St Mirren game. And we're going to be joined by the one, the only, the legend that is Chris McGill, our kit man for Invincibles and back-to-back. We're going to speak to Chris. We're going to get the lowdown and his thoughts on the game. Because now he can say what he wants because he's leaving the club. He's going to Bolton. So he can say what he wants, can't he, now? So...
true story, yeah.
Okay. So we'll get Chris's chat on the game. We'll get all the backstage. Not backstage, that's like the wrestling. We'll get all the dressing room gossip from him. It's like backstage gossip from Chris, like John McGuinn cutting promos and stuff. Anyway, enough wrestling chat because I watched SummerSlam last night. So I was up to about 1:30 in the morning watching the wrestling.
Is that just to cheer yourself up?
Just to cheer myself up. I watched a bit of wrestling. I did, you know what? I couldn't bring myself to watch the highlights. I just watched them about 10 minutes before we came on here. So I will talk about the game in just a bit. Before we do that, though, let's get to your comments. Who was first in? I didn't check who was first. Remember, I was going to start doing a thing, Ross, where I was like, who's first in with a comment from last week's show? Let's see who was first in.
This is on the YouTube channel.
On the YouTube channel. Who was first in? Oh, God, that's the intro. Who was first in with a comment? I think it was... congratulations to Callum Lang. Says, crunchy 96-97 away top, used for the cup run till they changed that to the final. And he was putting reference to your favourite strips.
Which we'll come on to because we've got a few suggestions in.
Yeah, we'll get on to that as well. So I think Callum was first into that. There you go. So we've got a few suggestions on that. So brilliant. Willie Henderson, the dad of Liam, got in touch saying congratulations on your 200th episode, guys. Thank you, Willie. Gary Murray, Ruby Murray, superb as always, gents. Mr. Swinney was top class too, as he always says. Congratulations, 200. When is the opening night at Tatties and Tipples? Well done. I know what you're going for there, Gary. And Connor Bray says, hi lads, brilliant episodes. It's me and my brother's company. Connor got in touch with us. He owns Tatties and Tipples. He's been listening for 2 years now, so glad to be part of the club. Hopefully see you both in the lounge soon. Well, if you've got an invite to the lounge, because we're not in it anymore, so we're obviously open to hospitality this season.
Absolutely, if anyone's got spares at their tables, because it's a bit like that episode of Still Game. Remember when the guy sitting there is like, I won't be buying headphones. Well, I won't be buying hospitality, it's too dear.
Absolutely. So, aye, brilliant. And great to hear that, obviously, Connor is a Falkirk supporter as well, and now heading up the catering stuff for Tatties and Tipples and Hospitality. Oh, I wonder how it went. It was obviously the first day of it yesterday, so hope it all went well for you, Connor. I'm sure the food was an improvement on what the council offered as well. Get it up, he's. We can say that.
We can. It's excellent.
We can say that.
To be fair, had they just plopped down a bag of dog shit on the table, it probably would have been better than last year's fair. So
I know. Listen, we talked about Matthew J. Wood and putting together his 150th anniversary print. We said Callum said Crunchy the 96-97 away.
That's a gift. That's a shout. That yeah, he probably is the poster boy, isn't he, for that one?
Do you know what? We talked about him being in the kind of the what you said, the white one, didn't you? Beezer Holmes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Crunchy's maybe that. Sammy in the 0203. Bud, we talked about Owen Coyle. Yeah. He's saying Sammy, and again, he's a poster boy for that just because of that Hearts game. Yes. Bob McHugh, what a shout from Nelly GFC, the 15-16 for his late goals. Absolutely. Doing a queue with Bob McHugh.
Yeah, I was thinking of this. Who's your poster boy for the Hartley season?
Hell!
Not the one where he took over, but like...
It was a cracking strip as well. That was a
the strip was fine. It was apart from it was all navy. Fuck that. But apart from like the shirt itself, V neck, white collar,
and the seaport nice. Across the kind of front and a design. Yeah. It was really cool.
It was like wasted on
it was.
That shit. It was like remember in Big Daddy when the girl goes, "We wasted the good party on you." It's like that. We wasted the good strip on this bag of shit.
What a reference! What we've had so far: Friends, wrestling, and Adam Sandler movies. Big Daddy, what a great film!
We wasted the good surprise on you.
We're going to put together what we'll do because we've kind of taken all your suggestions. If you've got any more, Adam, I'm going to go. Me and Ross are going to collate them all together and decide between the two of us. Yeah. What should go what and pass it back to Matthew. So thanks for your suggestions on that. Me and Ross will go to work on that because I promised Matthew we'd get them in for him tomorrow. Ross, we've got a bit of homework to do this Sunday. Right. It's good fun homework though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good homework.
It's like when you got that really good homework for class and you went, I don't mind doing that.
Yeah.
Don't mind doing that. So we'll get that all your suggestions put together and put over to Matthew. We'll pick out because the thing is we need some of the older players as well, because you need to get some of the older strips in there as well. I did see Andy Nicol in the Coasters top, the one that's at the back of the stand as well. The
good idea.
Yeah, Andy Nicol in the Coasters top. That is definitely one that should probably go in as well. But we'll get all your suggestions together and we'll pass them over to Matthew, and hopefully that print will be out very, very soon. Maybe get some to give away on the podcast as well, which should be nice. We've got to say it as well, thank you. We've got an episode sponsor, first episode sponsor, and get the trumpet out. It's Furry Bairns. They're back, Mr. Rab Mullen, the former Fergus the Fox. He is famous for doing that. Been a supporter since the Bairns back in the 80s. He was actually a boot boy at Brockville as well. And he queened the boys of Jordy Watson, who had the Andy Nicol, Bomber Brown, and a very young Crunchy as well. So he's got his business. It's down in Stennismuir. It's right. So you basically, it's just along from the Asda. See, if you're coming into Stennismuir from up the dams, then you come off to the left and then you go along and it's down to the left. And there's a wee industrial state there, that's where my dog groomer is, and Funny Bairns is right next to it. It's kind of slow in Stennismuir. Like, you can get around from the Asda, but it's wee industrial state, really, really good. You've got mechanics there, you've got dog groomers, and you've got, of course, Furry Bairns in there. It's Rab and his wife, Danielle. They basically have created natural dog treats. Loads of stuff there for the dogs as well. And I think they do, like, sausage sundaes where you take your dog in and you get a free sausage as well for your dog.
I've been down with Milo, and when it's hot like it is just now, you get a wee pup cup as soon as you go in, and as you said, there's the occasional wee Sunday sausage as well. And listen, just fantastic products. Actually, it costs they're very reasonable when you think about when you go to like Pets at Home and stuff like that. it's not as good stuff, and it's really expensive, whereas yeah. this is all natural stuff, and the dogs pick it for themselves because they get a right good sniff at all the products.
I love that. Dogs pick it, pick their own food out, you know. But yeah, get down there now, and like Ross says, you've got, the great thing is even more reasonable if you're a Falkirk supporter, because Falkirk Football Club season ticket holders get 15% off purchases over £10 from the core range of natural dog treats, supplements and accessories. So if you are wanting to treat your doggy, get down to Furry Bairns down at Crownasloan in Stenismuir, and you'll get 15% off. So there you go, brilliant. And there's Falkirk branded Falkirk branded goods are sadly exempt from that offer, by the way. So with 15% on your core range of natural dog treats, supplements and accessories down at Furry Bairns. And thanks very much to Rab and Danielle for sponsoring this week's episode. Up the Furry Bairns. News wise,
don't do that.
What up the Furry Bairns? Yeah. Oh, for God's sake,
frowned upon, isn't it?
Jesus Christ, I can't believe your mind went there. Right, news wise, what's going on? Board update. I mean, they're also well written. I think I definitely think Stuart Adam is. I know it's Stuart that writes his board updates. It's so well written, really, really good. So, another really good update following on from our chat with Jamie. And thanks very much for all the feedback on the episode we had about. I think it was like one of our biggest episodes we've had so far as well, the Q&A with Jamie last week. And as ever, Jamie, open, honest, you know, he doesn't hide anything. You know, we asked him about Ben Stanway, and then right enough it transpires this week he's signed back with Thistle. Obviously, there's no smoke without fire on that one.
Yeah.
And obviously there was conversations. It just seems that the boy's been a bit mismanaged, I think, by his agent. But
You do wonder if... by agreeing to sign on for another year, John, you wonder if him and his agent, or new agent as it turns out, will maybe put a clause in there that he's signing on for another year, but listen, he wants to be able to leave for X amount of money next summer or something, you know, because this clause is still going to be there next summer, because he's only 21, and I think it's as under 24 you need to pay a development fee, or under 23, something like that.
23, I think that is.
So that's still going to be there the next two years, so... I would assume if he's clever, and if the club were clever to get him to agree another year, that he's put a clause in there that he can leave for a certain amount of money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But there's loads in the statement there as well, talking about budgets. Obviously, Jamie explained about the pitch funding, why we're still asking people to fund the pitch with the instalment. But, you know, the fans are improvements. So give it a read, really good read, as always. And that's the latest board update. Motherwell away, as Motherwell have got progressed in Europe. That's now Sunday, the 9th at 3 o'clock. And it means we've got... It's going to be ages till we get a game after that, isn't it? It's like... Because then you've got Hearts, which has been postponed because the European have taken that option. So that is pretty much postponed. We don't know what a date is in that.
The dates for Hearts, John, apparently, Falkirk didn't communicate this, but Hearts had said it would be either the 8th or 9th of September or the 15th or 16th of September, it'll be midweek. But which date is to be confirmed? I think they are waiting because I think it depends on how they progress through these playoffs and what have you.
Yeah, we'll wait and see with that. We'll get into it as well, but... Motherwell away, and then it's like Rangers Celtic Hearts. It's going to be. I was speaking to Chris Love down at Love's this week today, and I have a good gabber with him and Davey Love down there every time I'm going to get my rolls on a Saturday and a Sunday. And I was just like, Christ, we could be sitting mid. That's why I thought it was really important to get 3 points yesterday, because be sitting mid September with 0 points in the boot. When you look at the run of games, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. But then listen, we did pick up points against. And Motherwell just struggled to beat us, so touch wood.
Absolutely. Falkirk women and girls are back in action today, away to Montrose in the Sky Sports Cup. Fingers crossed they should get up there and get a result as well. Mary Smith was named as SWPL Team of the Week. So well done to Mary. Congratulations on that. And as part of the Football Club's deal with a new community partner, D360 Group, match tickets will be available for school kids soon. So that's cool. Oh, yeah. Watch this space. We need to get Josh on the podcast to talk about Falkirk Women, actually.
Yes. And that would be good.
Talk it as well. So I did mention to them the last time, so we need to get time to get Josh on, find out how women are set on down this season. And remember, you can get a season ticket for like £40 to see the girls this season as well. The games kick off kind of mid-August as well. So go and watch the girls on a Sunday. If you're just sitting about the house and nothing to do, pop up to the stadium and watch the girls.
And they're playing this Wednesday evening, John. So if anyone is looking for a football fix, I'm just going to triple check. I think I want to say Kilmarnock, and I feel as if that's right, but I'm just going to triple check it. They play on Wednesday evening. I should have put that in this as well, and I forgot. Wednesday. This is not smooth, Ross.
This is great podcasting here, Ross.
This is just absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I'm still scrolling through the Falkirk Women's post.
Come on.
Their socials have got really, like, there's loads on there now. So shout out to the guys doing their socials, because it looks fantastic. And I'm still scrolling. Yes, it is Kilmarnock. So Wednesday, the 5th of August. So this Wednesday, 7:30 kickoff at Falkirk Stadium. And that is their final, I think it's their final game in the Sky Sports Cup. So obviously they played the first game against Gartcairn last week, Montrose today, and then Kilmarnock on Wednesday.
I might try and get down to that myself, actually. Let's go into birthday corner before we talk football. And happy birthday to Ellie Harding, who's 13 on 7th of August, officially a teenager. Good luck to mum, dad, on that, and officially becoming a teenager. But happy birthday, Ella, and that comes from your mum, dad, little brother, Noah, and Millie the dog. Woohoo!
Yay. Always need the dog in
there. On you go. And your dad's not a bad footballer as well. Millie played in the charity game last year, so
he did.
Current former player celebrating their birthday, Stephen Rennie. God, Stephen Rennie. 45 is wow. He's Stephen Rennie's age as well. I did not realise that. Obviously, one of our friends got snogged by Stephen Rennie and Rosie's back in the day. We won't mention it was Joe, but happy birthday, Stephen Rennie. What could have been, Joe? What could have been?
Joe is female. Just clarify that.
Yeah. And she will message me straight after this. Declan McManus is only 32. Is he still banging the goals in Wales?
I think so, but he looks about 52. But he's had a hard paper round. But listen, what a goal scorer!
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of other Bairns celebrating birthday this week on the 5th of August. Dragutin Ristich, the best moustache in Scottish football, potentially. He's going to be
62 is mentally when you think that's insane.
I don't know. Here's a couple of names for you as well. Mustafa Dumbuya, 39. Was that Hartley or was that?
That was a 2018-19
period. And Jace Kabaya, wow.
I think he's doing okay for himself. He's down south now. I think he's doing okay.
Is he all right? 8th of August, brilliant blast from the past. Trinidad and Tobago. Brent Raheem, 48.
Love Brent.
Oh, yeah. Love Brent as well. And Alan Mabry, 48.
Did a job,
you know, a good CV as well that he had behind him. I think he got the bin at Stirling Albion, actually. He did, didn't he? And yes. I think it's Steve Whitaker was in charge there, though. But yeah, happy birthday to all those Bairns. And if you're celebrating your birthday this week, happy birthday to you as well. Right, let's talk to Chris in a minute. But let's say, first of all, thank you very much to Behind the Wall. We have got the dates in place for Falkirk Daft Live for the whole season. I spoke to Bobby. Still, we'll have an announcement on when those are next week and let you know so you can get along, and tickets will be on sale very, very soon, because the first one is just around the corner. So we'll get onto that and let you know what's what. But yeah, Behind the Wall, obviously Stone Roses were in there last night. Loads of stuff going on there over the next week. Well, including Burke and Hare, which is on the 23rd of August. Basically, it's a comedic performance by an Northern Ireland historian and has a sellout act at the Fringe, Andrew Johnson. So the tale of Burke and Hare, as you know, this is a kind of like a spin on it. So that's happening there on the 23rd of August. Pick and Pizza is going on there. It's basically a back-to-back showing of two Disney movies to all you basically back to school shopping done, so you can dump the kids up there, pick it, you get your, we'll get watch films, get a pizza, and it only costs $8.95 per child, so there you go, which is just the cost of the kids' meals and drink. So
right.
Yeah, it's both brilliant. So a great deal. So Pick and Pizza is happening at Behind the Wall as well. So if you want to get involved with that, adults are free to get in. It's happening on Saturday, the 8th of August, at Behind the Wall between 2 and 6. So you just one adult per four kids is what you do. So basically, if you divvy up between your friends, just leave one there. You can go do your back to school shopping there as well. So there you go. So Pick and Pizza happening on Behind the Wall. All the details are on the website and on the social media, but get in touch with the pub if you fancy that. And the Motherwell bus is running as well, as ever. The course coach is from Behind the Wall. Again, just the deal, same deal as last year, just in terms of you get a free pint when you get your back, when you get back to the pub. So basically, it's £12.50 for a return, but it's only £7.50 when you think about it, because you're getting your pint when you get back to the pub as well. So yeah. That's all happening at Behind the Wall, and we continue to thank Bobby and the team for the sponsorship of this podcast. And remember, try a Falkirk Daft Venom slush. I need to get up and try it. I've not tried
it. Me too. Looking forward to trying that.
I know. I would say I was up for my meeting with Bobby during the week, and I thought, it's a bit too early. You know what I mean? 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, that would be frowned upon. It happens. All the details are behindthewall.co.uk. Right, okay, let's talk about football, if we must, and talk about that loss to St Mirren yesterday. I'm going to do it in the company of a guy that, you know, has been an integral part, I think it's fair to say, an integral part of the club for, you know, the last four seasons. He's been our kit man extraordinaire. He got the nickname Big Time for coming on this podcast. It's Chris McGill.
Hello, gentlemen. You's all right?
Morning, mate.
All good. Morning, mate. Morning. All good. How are you feeling, Chris? How are you feeling? Because yesterday, you know, there's been rumours. There's been lots of behind-the-scenes rumours that you got a job elsewhere. And then big Dave Mack on it hasn't been announced on social media, or by the club. Dave Mack threw you under the bus yesterday as you walked past and basically got you on the mic saying, Big Time, and you got a big cheer from the crowd. But honestly, obviously we're all gutted you're leaving, but how are you feeling?
Do you know, the last few weeks anyway, I've been really emotional. I didn't expect this at all. I kind of thought it would just be like, right, swept under the table. There's a funny story to it as well. Just emotional. I didn't ever expect to leave Falkirk, but Bolton's actually my English club as well. So I just kind of thought, right, okay, go for it. I actually tried to kind of keep it relatively quite quiet. I'd spoke to the manager after I had the discussions with Bolton, and he was obviously kind of gutted and stuff, but so I said to myself, look, can we do us a favour, just keep it quiet to the boys and stuff like that, keep it quiet in general. And it was the Edinburgh City game. We've walked in at half time and the gaffer says to me, she's like, you got that wee tactics board that you took to Portugal with you, Chris? I says, no, I says, I don't normally take it. Like, I says, but I'll start packing it in the van for the future. And the gaffer says, aye, fat chance that'll be in Bolton, eh? That'll be good in Bolton, eh? And I was like, oh no, so I've walked away. And like, says, some of the boys have picked up going, Bolton, that's strange, isn't it? It's like, what are you on about? And the boys started asking the questions after the Edinburgh City. So I came in, we were in on the Sunday next game day. I says, aye, gaffer, that's all the boys know, eh? All the boys know, how's that? You tell them yesterday.
did he not mean to do it? Okay.
He just lost it out, and he was like, "All right, oh sorry." I just like, it's fine. I says, at least everybody knows about it now.
Do you know what's come to me? I didn't realise that Kitman could get transferred. I didn't realise there was a market for Kitman. It's like, you didn't hear that? You didn't hear that in Sky Sports? Jim White's not talking about this, Chris. You want Jim White? I've got a big news coming in from Bolton here. We're hearing that Chris McGill is on his way there to Bolton. It's a big move for Chris there.
Never attempt that again, John.
That's a class, Jimmy. Come on.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm interested, though. It's obviously we will never know what Calvin and Barney went for, but what's the fee, Chris McGill?
There's no fee. Probably a Snickers. A Snickers, not
a Snickers.
Brilliant. So when did you move down, Chris?
So I was meant to start on Monday, but I've got a funeral, unfortunately. So I asked Bolton, I says, look, if I'm okay to stay up for another day. So I'm starting on Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, sorry, so the 11th of August. So my official day leaving the club is this Thursday. But I spoke to the gaffer and Smudger and said, look, because I'm still up here until the Monday, like, I could lend a hand at the Motherwell game if you really like. So gaffer was delighted with that, to be fair. So yeah, I'm going to be there at the Motherwell game, but kind of behind the scenes a wee bit. I'll not be out in the pitch and stuff like that, but kind of help the transition for the new guy coming in.
Can you announce who, exactly, watch a bit of the game. Can you tell us who that is yet, Chris? Is there any details you can share?
I think I'll leave that up to the club, but it was kind of it's been my recommendation. So it's somebody that I know within he was in the Scottish Championship last season. The gentleman that's coming in, absolutely fantastic guy. He's full of stories and stuff. I'll have to tell him to come on here. Some of the stories he's got is like ridiculous, so funny. But I'll leave that to the kind of the club to announce and stuff like that. But great guy.
Good, that's it. We're doing as much to avoid talking about the game yesterday. Chris, like, looking back over your time at Falkirk, like, I mean, it's been, like, you've been there at the peak, the Invincibles, the back-to-back, and then top six last season as well. What's been your biggest highlight out of your time?
Ibiza.
There it is.
It's got to be the Invincible season, because obviously, like, I've never experienced winning a league at that point, but the Invincible season and then going away with the boys in Ibiza and stuff, but probably the most emotional one was when we played Hamilton for the championship. I think I said it in a previous podcast to you guys, but I started crying in the changing room once we scored the third. I started crying because, like, it was just so much of a relief, pressure off.
Yeah.
The lead up to that with the weeks coming in, like Partick Thistle and the emotional in that dressing room was tough. But when we scored that, the second one, I broke down in tears in the changing room.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was maybe the live event last year, Chris, and we were, I think everyone was the same. It was just, as you said, it had been a long time coming for the football club, but even more so the few weeks prior to that, because of the, like, when is it going to happen?
Yeah. But
then it was maybe that element, probably the week before with the Thistle game, there was then murmurs of, is it going to happen? And that wasn't probably just the fans, that was, naturally, that would filter into the dressing room as well. But
yeah.
I think that's as John said, you've been an integral part of the club the last few years, and it is a wee legacy. We talk about players, but it's the backroom staff are just as big as a player who's made an impact on the pitch as well.
I've said this though before, that stems to the manager. Like, he's so committed, he comes in every day, he's first one in, last one to leave every day, so hard working, and it streams down the staff in regards to how you want to work. And I'll tell you now, I was saying about coming to Motherwell at the weekend, I'm doing that for the manager, Smudger, because I want to do it for them.
Yeah.
Yes, I love the club and stuff like that, but I want to do it for them. And he strives the standards in that place, but he's not only a very, very, very good manager, very good people person, but just a general, like, nice guy. So is Smudger, so is Stephen McGinn. That, like, the staff are so tight knit, and that's why it made this decision even harder. When Bolton came in and it came up and they offered me it, and I came up the road crying in the car because I was like, I don't know how to have these conversations with the manager.
Yeah.
I phoned my missus and I was on the missus. So I was on the phone to the missus for 5 minutes and spoke to the manager about 15-20.
Right. Who is it, John, that you'll miss the most, Chris, or is there anybody else in the dressing room? I know you got on really well with Stephen McGinn.
Yeah, probably. Like I said, my missus again, she's another one. She's like, do you know what? Do you ever shut up about that guy, the gaffer? he's been a massive part of not only my development in the role, but as me as a person, and how, like, prior to me coming in, it was, what, a year after COVID, and I was quite a kind of shy individual, and, like, COVID put me back in my box. I didn't like it. And then McGaffer allowed me to come in along with Stephen McGinn. Stephen McGinn, he allowed me to be the kit man that I'm now, coming in, having a laugh and a joke, playing practical jokes on people and that. So he was the one that kind of started that off for me. But to then bring him back, he's just terrorised the kit department for the last season, coming in and stealing shots and stealing stuff all the time, trying to wind us up and stuff. But probably more so the Gaffer and Smudger, just two fantastic, fantastic people.
Yeah.
We have had a text from John McGlynn for you, Chris. He just says, let's get it in front of me. He just says, how could you do this to me? I'm joking. You know why? You know
why? Amazing. But no, was the whip, before we get into the game, was the whip round good for you, Chris? You had your leaving card yet?
I'm not heading in yet.
It better be good, by the way.
I'll probably get shite in a card or something like that. That's what I'll get.
But what about another pair of grip socks from a rival firm?
Oh, listen, the boys have been all over me as well. Do you know what? Yeah, you're buggering off. We can go and get our own grip socks.
By the way, I knew there was the end when Brad Spencer posted on his Instagram that he'd got new grip socks. It was he McGill's? And I was like, what is going on here?
Then
I DM'd him and said, by the way, I hope Chris McGill's not seen this.
Can I will chip in here, though, because see when Brad did put, I'll try and find it. When Brad did put that on his Instagram, I replied to his thing, his story, saying Chris McGill doesn't like this. And he says, he was needing knocked down a peg or five anyway, so I just decided to do it.
It's the same, Calvin Miller was the same. So Calvin Miller stitched me up. He says, has any chance you can send me some grip socks over the hearts? I says, aye, no problem at all, sorted. 2 days later, he's got attack grip socks up his grips. What is going on here? He's like, I don't know, I just thought I'd bring you down a peg as well.
Anyway, get a plug in for the grip socks, Chris, because presumably you're continuing with the grip socks.
Yeah, I am. So my partner, Steph, she's staying up here just now. So she's happily decided to take it on forward for me up here, and I'll obviously can try and build a business down there as well.
Yeah, brilliant. There you go. So get check him out on socials. What is it, just CM Grips?
CM Grips on Instagram and Facebook, yep.
There you go. Get your grip socks. I need to get another pair, Chris, because I can't even find my other grip sock somewhere. I've lost it somewhere. I've got one at the moment. So I have to have another set online for my, obviously, burgeoning sevens career. Right, we've skirted around it long enough. Let's talk about the football yesterday. Chris, you spoke to you there. You didn't see much of the game because you were here, there, and everywhere yesterday. Ross, let's talk about it. Falkirk 0, St Mirren 2. Where do we start with this? Let's start with the team selection that John put out. Obviously, we had Joe Gardner just signed during the week, straight into the side at right wing. I mean, when I looked at the team, I was like, who is playing where? Because I couldn't work out who was playing 10 and who was playing right wing, because, you know, he was, I think, quite vocal that he, you know, Gardner plays in the hole, as I like to say. But, like, it's a good joke. I can't believe I'm not, that joke hasn't popped as bad as it should have, by the way. Right, but anyway, he did say that he played number 10, so it was quite interesting to see him playing out in the right wing. Laidlaw obviously played out in the left for most of the preseason anyway, and then Ross McKeever up front, which meant, obviously, Sybold. Yeats was in the 10, and then Sybold was in midfield with McMillan.
Yep.
Back four, kind of, you know, I guess, you know, Liam McCann could... It was always between McCann and Tanzer, I think, the question there. Tanzer's shown up really, really well in pre-season. Not so much yesterday. But, what did you make of the team selection?
John, a bit like you, I was kind of wondering, from an attacking sense, what was going on. As you said, the defensive... I think we had asked the question a couple of days ago, what did people think the team lineup would look like? And pretty much, to a man, everyone had sort of Trevor said the defence would be the defence that was there with McMillan and Sibs in the middle. But it was the forward areas that, where was it going to go? I wasn't sure. And obviously, we started quite brightly. And I don't want to say we sort of fell away from what we were doing, but the first 10 minutes, I thought we're looking really confident on the ball here. We're passing, everyone's kind of clicking. and the goal against, which I'm maybe rushing to, but the goal against just absolutely took the wind right out of us.
Yeah.
And it was a sore one.
I mean, another thing to mention, obviously, is Scott Bain coming straight back in. Noticed he wasn't actually involved much in the warm-up, Chris. He seems, I'm guessing, the manager's trying to just nurse him back in, because he was, like, when I came out, he wasn't really involved in the warm-up at the start of the game, but obviously was playing. I mean, you feel sorry for Nicky because he's come straight back in, but obviously Scott Bain, Ross, one of the people that get the pass marks. Is Scott all right, Chris? How's he?
Yeah, he's getting on all right. To be fair, I think he's overcoming it now. Obviously, he came back into training kind of last week and stuff. So, I wouldn't say he's nursing anything. He's certainly back in contention for everything. And but you'll obviously have noticed as well that they've changed all the warm up scenario as well. Like, they're doing a bit of shape and stuff. And,
yeah.
So they've kind of all changed that as well. But I don't know if that plays into it too much, because Scott's always coming early. Like, he did last season as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right though, John. I thought Scott was definitely a pass mark player yesterday. Some of the saves were huge. It's good to have him back. I've said it time and time again. We've got two very competent goalkeepers, and I think we should be three, sorry, because in fact four if we're including the young lad, because Joe is hope and expectation on young Joe. He's obviously getting recognised here, there and everywhere. Jay, from what we hear and see, is a very, very competent looking goalkeeper, probably one for the future at Falkirk as well. So we are blessed in that department. And you're right, it was probably for Nicky. I don't know when he would have found out that he wasn't playing, but he would have been disappointed with that. But listen, Nicky will get his chance again, because that's just the way it goes at football. It's very rare a goalkeeper is going to play every single week.
Yeah. Great Tifo. I think the highlight of the game was probably the Tifo, which you can see behind me if you're watching the YouTube version. From Gate 20, by the way, absolutely stunned. Had to laugh at St. Mirren's Tifo being upside down, however. That did make me laugh, and I thought, that's a sign, and it wasn't.
No, it wasn't a sign. I wasn't sure if that was purposeful. Like, is it like, you know how sometimes these groups do upside down banners if they're raging with like the board and?
Oh, do they? I didn't know that
yeah.
thing.
I think I'm trying to think when it was. Remember when Hibs were going through a bit of off the park stuff a couple of years ago? Their ultras group, is it Block 7 or something like that?
Yeah.
They were hanging purposely their banner upside down, and so much so though, when they started to win, even though they were winning and doing well, they kept it upside down as a good luck charm type thing. So they kept that going. But I wasn't sure if it was that, but it might just be that they cocked up and put it the wrong way around.
Oh, yeah, I think you're giving them too much credit, I'll be honest. First 10 minutes, as you say, Ross, looked good. You know, it was back to the Falkirk of old, knocking the ball about well. That chance, obviously, with Jack McMillan, obviously just firing wide.
But brilliant ball to him as well. Brilliant ball in.
Yeah, but then the goal came in, you know, and it was, again, if it's of our own making, you know, Scott's Tanzer's tried to play it with the back. I noticed if I was watching the highlights back, it didn't actually show you that part of the build-up, because it all came from the left-hand side. We tried to play a ball into midfield. They've intercepted it. And that happened a lot, by the way, that, like, just my favourite word, dilly-dallying on the ball and getting caught on it and the guys breaking forward. But, Scott Tanzer tries to play it out midfield, and then it wakes its way to the left-hand side. Killian Phillips, I mentioned it on the preview podcast, was always, like, I was really hoping he didn't play, because he bossed that game yesterday. Absolutely bossed it in midfield. I mean, it's a player you'd love to have. Him and Gogic, you know, they're two standouts for St Mirren. I thought the boy Ramos had a good game as well. Actually, their midfield was pretty dominant over us overall. Killian Phillips, just, I think, and John said in his interview after the match, just aggressive, attacked that front post. So close in. Scott Bain, you know, people always go, oh, keeper shouldn't be being beat at the near post, but it was so close in. Scott Bain didn't have much of a chance. It was just...
It was very close.
Kick in the gooies.
It was very close, John. And as you said, the gaffer mentioned it in the post-match interview. He named Scott as well. He said, listen, and I don't mind that. I quite like it when he kind of puts it in. The players probably think differently. But I think when you do name someone from a wee mistake, and he talked about Aiden a bit later on in the game, it gives them a wee bit of responsibility and that wee bit of mental check that, do you know what, I need to be switched on 100% of the time, or I need to make these wee tighten up here. Chris, obviously, I'll bring you in. I don't know if that's what the guys can do take from that sort of feedback.
Seeing that changing room, Ross, I say this now, those boys are incredibly honest. Like, whenever we dissect a game at the end of the game, they'll put their hands up and they'll admit blame, or they'll recognise what should have happened at that point in time. They're incredibly honest, those bunch of boys. So they know exactly what, and they'll go back in, they'll go in on Monday and have a look at it with the manager and stuff like that. But they always, there's always a lot of chatter in the, at the end of the game. And they're incredibly honest.
I'd imagine you'd have a quiet Monday, Chris, because I think there's going to be a lot of video analysis on Monday. And knowing John's very good on the video analysis, I think they'll all be stuck in that video room and you'll be all right, mate, because I think they're going to be in there for a long time dissecting that game.
Just means I'm in longer on Monday.
I know. Obviously, we then had a good few chances. You know, the one that Finn, falls to Finn, you know, that's where the equaliser comes and it changes the game. Ryan Strain, I thought, was one player that did get past marks yesterday. I thought he obviously set up Finn for the edge of the box. I thought Ryan Strain was really good yesterday, actually, at right back. And Finn probably, I think John spoke about it as well, he could have probably taken a touch the boys in commentary said that as well, like take a touch and then fire it, or just it was a bit powder puff in the end as well. So,
and we know he's got a strike in him. We've seen it. Not just the last goal he scored against St Mirren, but you go back to the last game of the season against Rangers. He absolutely thunderbolted that one back of the net. So, yeah, a wee bit disappointed because that probably would have changed the game. I don't want to say in our favour, but it would have changed the game, the way the game was going.
It was a strange one, though. It was strange, and we're saying that. It's like, as well as we were playing, St Mirren looked like they had more threat, and especially we fed into their game. They seemed to get every break of the ball and just broke up the park, and we saw so many times, and that's what happened with the second goal, is just the breaking up the park and the left in situations where they were left against two or three boys, like, defending, and it was, you know... And, you know, we've talked about in pre-season how defence looks like something we're going to build on. I mean, it was really shaky yesterday. Dennis the Menace had a bit of a, you know, a shaky game. Hendo, apart from that, an unbelievable tackle that he made, which was like one of the best tackles I've seen in many a year, where he just got back and just took it off the boy. But, like, the defence were a little bit shaky yesterday, but I thought probably the game was won and lost in midfield.
I think their press was really good. I think you're right. I think they did probably win the midfield battle. There's no think about it. They did win the midfield battle. And as John McGlynn said post-match, when you look at some of the wee individual errors plus just collectively not being at it, you'll be punished. And listen, we lost two home games against St Mirren last year. Losing at home to St Mirren didn't impact our season last year, right? So we need to bear that in mind. But also, it is early doors. We know where we want to be. We know where we want to get to. John alluded to it as well. It sounds like they're going to have a hell of a week in the training ground for ahead of Motherwell, which is always a tough, tough game. Granted, we've always had mostly had a good outcome against Motherwell, but they will be. I'm sure they'll be working very, very hard to try and work on a plan for next Sunday. But they are going to have to execute it a hell of a lot better than how we tried to execute it yesterday.
How have the new boys settled into the dressing room? Obviously, it's been, you know, John's talked about the turnover, Chris. How have all the new boys settled in? Because that's, you know, when you look at it, it's 11 new signings coming into the club. And in your time there as well, it's like since this kind of first season you were there, that's the biggest turnover. And, you know, we know what that crowd, that team spirit was like. Because I was saying to Ross, it was like, in fact, it was like two, there was only two of the Invincibles in that side yesterday with Ross and who else was the other one? Ross and Hendo. Ross and Hendo. Yeah. We're the only two kind of Invincibles left on that side. Has that been hard, that turnover in the dressing room, Chris? Or
I would say so. Obviously McGaffer always said as well that it's all still gelling. Like all the players are still gelling and getting used to everybody and when a player comes into the changing room, as like I'll probably be when I go down to Bolton, you're very quiet. you're trying to suss everybody out, you see what everybody's like. But within that dressing room, you've got a very, very good core group of boys that have obviously been there for years, and the boys come in like Melnick's. Nobody hurt more than him yesterday. But everybody rallied around him. And obviously, with his Latvian background and stuff like that, kind of just teaching him all the bad words and stuff like that. So he's got used to all that stuff. But you can see that they're all kind of still gelling with each other. Like you said, you've got Joe Gardner that just arrived in last week, so players are still trying to suss out how he plays and how he works, and personality-wise and stuff like that. You've lost a big personality in Calvin in that changing room. He was massive last season. But I'll tell you, the one player in that changing room that keeps everybody going is Cole. Cole is an advocate for so many high standards in there. Which is great on the training pitch and in the changing room. So like he kind of drags everybody as well. But everybody's still getting used to everybody in there. The boys are still gelling, but it's a good team. There's no big egos in there. There's no bad eggs. Everybody is genuinely in it for the team, the club, and they all work well together.
Do you think they need like an afternoon out or an evening out or something, Chris? Like you know,
no doubt they'll organise that soon enough.
Do you know what I mean? I don't mean just like from a banter or a football perspective, but you know what it's like? It's even when you're in a normal job,
yep.
A night out or an afternoon out makes such a difference because you get to know people just that little bit differently than you would do.
Yeah, there's already chatter in it because obviously the next couple of weeks there's, you know, the Hearts game's been changed and stuff. So, there is already chatter about that, and they aren't very good at doing stuff like that together. And 95% of the time, all the boys turn up to it as well, which is good. They'll do that within the next couple of weeks or so.
Good.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Because, I mean, like you say, I think on the pitch you could see that yesterday as well. It is a team just gelling. You say Joe Gardner getting thrown in the, you know, deep end, really. Yeah, Dane Docherty the same last week as well. I was actually very surprised. You know, I do think we are missing that natural width at the moment. You know, Calvin, obviously, on one side last year, had Ben and Kyrell on the other side for most of the season last year as well. But, like, I do think that Ethan Laidlaw, I think he looks like a right good footballer, but I don't think he's a left winger. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, he had some good moments yesterday. Joe Gardner as well, just, you know, had started off but kind of drifted out the game a bit. But I do think Ethan Laidlaw is a good footballer in there. I just don't think it's in the left wing. And I think that's really, if we want to play to the 4-3-3, you know, formation that we've been used to under John, we really need width in it. I thought Ethan Ross made a difference when he came on. You know, and we'll talk about Ben Parkinson in a bit when we get to the disallowed goal. But, like, we do need, I think, more width in that side, Ross, and more creativity and pace.
Pace I can 100% get.
I mean, Aidan Docherty.
I thought Laidlaw had his best game so far. I know it was pre-season, right, prior to yesterday. But I thought that was his best game. I agree with you, though. I'm not massively convinced he is a winger, but I think I'd like to see him in the nine position. But I think we did look more threatening when the sort of traditional pacier players came on. Gardner, we're obviously going to see more of. It sounds like he's maybe more of a 10 than a winger from his own interview and what he said. But
I mean, he carried the ball. I think I'm one of the Forest supporters got in touch with and said this boy is brilliant at carrying the ball, and you saw that a couple of times when he got down the wing as well. Yeah. Finn brings so much industry, and I thought he looked better when he was moved into midfield, but like he's never a 10. Like he played there last year and he admitted it himself, he's never a 10.
I think he's more comfortable in the hole when he came back with him and Sibs, and I thought he was a bit more comfortable there. I thought he also gave us a bit more legs in that area it was just a, you're right though, Josh, if we go back to the midfield being lost, that was the problem, the midfield, and then there was they were getting a lot of joy down their right hand side they were and they saw that there was space there as well. I think Scott Townsend, he wandered a little bit at points, and I know we joked about it last week that he's maybe more of a winger than a fullback, but he is a fullback, so that's where he's meant to be playing and his position. And but yeah, they did get quite a bit of joy down that right hand side, unfortunately, and a lot of their had the boy. Is it Sewell? Had he been a bit more clinical, it could have been 3.
I mean,
at half time.
It could have very much so. But we did get an equaliser in inverted commas. Because St Mirren, that we were well worthy of their lead. They're well worthy of you know, it should have been, like you say, 2 or 3 more. Scott Bain's outstanding save, like, you know, right at the end of that first half. Brilliant save twice. Picks one out from going into the top bin, and then obviously keeps it from going over the line from that the resulting corner. So we had Scott Bain to thank us for getting in at 1-0. What was the dressing room like? Were you in the dressing room for half time, Chris, or was it?
Yeah, listen, at half time, I think, like I said, we obviously weren't happy, but from the general consensus, like, keep going, like, because we weren't bad. We weren't bad, and it wasn't as if they were going through us all the time. We had our chances and stuff like that. In my opinion, actually, I seen the goal back. I think their goal's incredibly lucky. Yeah, it's at the front post and stuff like that, but 99% of the time, that never goes in.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good build-up and stuff like that, but I thought it was a lucky goal. But yeah, the general consensus was just, you know what, keep playing, keep going. Keep doing it, and you'll get something out of it. And like I said, I think our goal that was chopped off, I don't think it was chopped off at all. The going about handballs and stuff like that, but in my opinion, it was sleeve length. Yeah. And they always say on about it's not sleeve length, it's not a handball if it's up to your sleeve, and that's what it was.
Yeah, Molly Comb came out and said that. So, I mean, obviously, you know, as you said, Parkinson, Ross came on, you know, the set piece comes. It gets, well, at that time we thought it was a header from Dennis into the path of Parkinson, who scores with his first touch, right? But obviously then you had the VAR delay, and, you know, gets called over to Duncan Nicholson, who's fucking hell. His whistle wasn't out of his mouth yesterday. Jesus Christ, like, oh, fuck. Honestly, I do think he's up there as one of the worst officials in the Premiership. You can't say anything, Chris.
I know,
but
I can't.
But, like, he's just... Just nippy. It was from both sides as well, to be fair. But I was just like, fuck me. Just let the game just was stop, start. I was like, Christ almighty, just let it flow. But yeah, he gets called out the monitor, and we obviously know he's called out the monitor. For me, though, there's so many things to dissect from it. Like, is it clear and obvious from the angle he got? Absolutely 100%. For the angle that VAR was obviously seeing, absolutely 100%. It's not. And even when you look at it from the other angle as well, which Sky showed, it looks like Chris said, it's above the t-shirt line, which Willie Colm came out last year and said, a handball is not a handball unless it's above the t-shirt line. Yeah. Like, and it looks like Melix, it's a weird one because it's, I don't know if it's come off his head. I think it has maybe come off that part of the arm and into the path of Parkinson. But then it's not handball. I don't get it. And that actually, the guy who does Pie and Bovril, St Mirren supporter, and I think John Barnes from the BBC said it was a ridiculous decision, a few other people, and he was saying it was awful. And I was like, nonsense, absolute nonsense.
The common theme seems to be from football journalists that have talked about it since last night is that it's not a handball. As you said, though, John, Duncan Nicholson is for us, for a fan watching the game, it'll be the same for the staff and the players as well. He's just a really frustrating guy. And we seem to get him like every third fucking game. Like, have they got like such a small shortage of refs that you get the same guy every 3 or 4 games? It's brutal. But yesterday, as soon as you knew he was going to the monitor, you knew what the outcome was going to be. And it changed because when the goal goes in, the crowds lifted, shout out again at gate 20. They never stopped all day, but the full stadium got going when the goal went in, and you just felt that is a game changer at that point.
Yeah.
20 minutes to go, beg your pardon. And it would have given us a real shot in the arm. We've just made the changes as well. I think the impetus would have swung our way, but not to be.
And I mean, I would say we didn't deserve it. I mean, we didn't deserve anything out of that game, but you would have taken it, like you say, who knows what happens with the momentum. As it happens, the goal's obviously chopped off. Because we did look all right in the second half, looked a bit better in the second half, but then again, they broke every time, and then just the second goal, like, we're playing into the, you know, we're playing up there side of the park, and then we get caught out. Sibs goes to try to take a shot, just deflects into the boys' path, and it seemed to be they had magnets for the breaks yesterday. I don't know what it's meant. Every time it broke to their players and they were on a break, it seemed every single time. Whether that's good, you know, management tactics from them, or whether they've just been lucky with the breaks. But, and then, you know, it's 2-1. I think Aidan Doherty, and I think John said it, a bit naive in fact, and Ross, you were going mental in front of me.
As soon as they were running after the halfway line, I'm just like, take one for the team. And it just never happened. And then you just saw Phillips on his own in space. You just knew the ball was going to get to him, and it did. But I was going bonkers with it. But I think Aidan will probably look it back. Well, he will watch it back probably many times on Monday, if he's not already. But I think, you take one for the team there. It's still 1-0, potentially with, what, 8 minutes to go, including injury time. Still gives you a wee chance. But that killed it, unfortunately. But listen, he is, again, amongst others, a young lad, and we're going to get brilliant stuff from him, and we're also going to get not so brilliant stuff, and it's just part and parcel with the game. It's not even just because he's young. Like, listen, you could have a 35-year-old making decisions that shouldn't be made. So sore one, John, sore one, Chris, and as you said, the boys are feeling it, and they just need to go and use that motivation now to go and get 3 points at Fir Park. And listen, we can. We know we can. We've done it before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on the disallowed goal, Chris, I'm guessing there wasn't much time after the match to kind of look back on it and stuff. What did Dennis say about the... Did he say, no, it was up at my T-shirt? It wasn't a handball.
He said, what was it? I think it was when we came in. He was asked. He was like, no, it wasn't a handball. Like, that, and that was about it. Yeah, wasn't a handball.
Yeah.
But like I said, when you look back at it, it just, like I said, these rules kind of annoy me a wee bit, because you go on about T-shirt lines and stuff like that, but I'll implement them then. The other things I felt were frustrating yesterday was the 5 or 8 second rule for the throw-ins.
Yeah.
Sometimes I thought, do you know what, like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And you'll see me flapping my arms at the side, like, because I'm a stickler for that. I pay attention to that stuff. Like, no, that's not on.
See that consistency though, that's what grinds my gears as well. Like yesterday, I forgot what it was now. Oh no, do you know what it was? It was Scott Bain had kicked the ball and the ref went, the ball's rolling, right, for a goal kick. I get it, the ball was moving, you need to bring it back. How many times do these refs just let that go?
Mm-hmm.
See if that was out in the middle of the park, that's just let go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the consistency that gets on my nerves. And as you're saying, Chris, the throw-ins, especially when they bring new rules in as well, they probably stick to it for about 10 minutes and then they revert back to the ways of old, you know?
And don't me wrong, like, I'm trying not to have a slight at the referees in that aspect as well, because my partner's a referee, and she said, and don't me wrong, I totally agree with her, that it's incredibly hard to, and don't me wrong, granted, she's doing grassroots football and stuff, but it's incredibly hard for her as an individual when she's not got linesmen and stuff like that to be like, right, I've got to concentrate on who the throwing goes to. You've got that 80-second rule. You've got to try and implement that. They've got to try and get on with it, blah, blah, blah. But when you're in a professional game, that's people's livelihoods, and like, they've got to be on it, in my opinion.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the toughest part to take from yesterday is that, you know, for a lot of pundits and a lot of ex-pros, like, St Mirren were the favourites to go down, you know, and I didn't think they weren't world beaters, but they had it in us to beat us yesterday, and I think that's the worry, and I think that's a lot of Falkirk supporters' worry, especially when we look at fixtures to come, as we talked about, Ross, in the next few weeks. you know, to say we can go, can't go to Marwell and get points like we did last season, you know, Rangers, Hearts, Celtic. But aye, I think that is the big worry for us, you know. And it, as you say, Chris, as well, the players that we've lost, and you know, a lot of people that don't know Falkirk, or you know, the own players, Ben Brogio, Lisa, Wilson, and then Barney, Dylan, Calvin. Like, it's like most of that team, you know, like I think John McGonigan said yesterday, I think, or when I looked at the team, it's like the team that finished last season, I think there was only about two of them playing.
Yeats, yep. And Hendo, maybe. In fact, maybe even Hendo, was it? It was
Ben.
He wasn't
when he was injured.
So
it's tough, and it's going to be, like you say, a work in progress. But in John, we have faith, of course we do, and that won't change. But it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a long season. But we said that last season as well. At this point, when we got beat off Livingston as well, it's very much that. It's just that we've got a tough run of games coming ahead of us. So that's the worry, that you know, you don't have that momentum. That could we start picking up points, but then like, it's going to be a tough old season, but we'll be here for it. But let's hear what the manager had to say after the match. Your best pal, Chris, John McGlynn.
John, not the start to the league season that you would have wanted. How would you sum up the game?
No, well, you're right there, Adam. It's not the start we were not wanting or looking for, that's for sure. I thought the opening 10 minutes, I think there was a goal in a bit on or 12, so I thought we started reasonably well, passing the ball well, moving the ball well, getting, you know, round side to side, getting in the wide areas, one or two crosses in. Thought we looked a bit of a threat. Just before we lose the goal, Scottish had to make a save, a long ball over the top, managed to get into a wider area, and there was a shot for an angle, but he's managed to save it at the near post. And then, you know, we're in control of the ball, we're in possession of the ball. You know, Hendo's got plenty of time, he's got an easy option on it. And Scotty Tanzer tries to find a ball in midfield that wasn't on. We get punished for it. However, you know, the ball kind of goes long, it gets an opportunity to cross it, and we've got plenty of Falkirk jerseys in and around the area where the ball is. Poor defending, really, really poor defending. We allow, I'm not sure how many bodies here in the box, they didn't have many bodies in the box. Remember, they allow them to get across the front yards, get a header in, and it goes in at the near post. Poor start, you know. Considering that we had been on the offensive, we had been threatening and looking in control, and probably, you know, the best looking he played so far. And, you know, so disappointed to go behind. It will give the opposition a lift at getting a goal. Looking to respond, I thought Joe Gardner had a couple of really, really good runs, great runs. One which is pulled back for Yatesy, and he's hit the target. But he's probably doesn't realise he's got a bit more time. He could have composed himself, took it in a couple of yards, and probably picked his spot. And that's key moments, you know. We'll make a mistake, we'll lose a goal. We get an opportunity to get back in it. Don't take it. There were dangers in the counter-attack, because when you go and push bodies forward, when you try to go and attack, there's a bit of space in behind, which the cause problems with, and Scotty Baines had to make two saves. One was an incredible save, great save, maybe 5 minutes before half time, so it's kind of like kept us in it. Second half, I thought we dominated. I think the goal we get at that time was justified. I think if the goal stands, I think the worst we get is one each. I think we're in the ascendancy. I think we're a better team then. We're a team looking to, you know, to score. We didn't get it. Our corner kicks, the actual delivery isn't that bad, but we just, there's no one wanting to go and attack the ball, head the ball, which is really, really frustrating. And we've actually got three players back against no one at the second goal that we lose with 4 or 5 minutes to go. But when it comes out, we strike the ball against the you know, the one opponent, the opponent directly there, and the ball breaks up the pitch and it takes out, obviously, subs of the shot. So it takes him out and Aiden's lads ran past Aiden. So it ends up in a 1v1 and actually breaking on us a 2v1. Well, a little bit unfortunate the way that the ball's gone in the back of the net, a deflection, and the way it's gone in. Yeah. Yeah, it's not good enough. You know, we are well aware of that. You know, obviously we want to get out of the blocks today, we want to get a start, find margins in it. Yeah, moments that could have turned it back in our favour. Yeah, they were there, but did we do enough? Was it as incisive? Was it as clean as we'd like it to be? No, it wasn't. And you know, we were naive. Naive to the goals that both goals that we've lost were naive. There's still an opportunity. Aiden is a young boy, he's just here, so can he foul in the centre circle? Can he just, you know, it happens. If it had been the other way around, I've no doubt that our player would have been fouled and he would have stopped it. You know, we're naive there, create a foul. And, you know, we're still 1-0 down, but we're still, you know, got minutes to get the goal back. So it goes 2-0. We don't have a lot of time left. So, you know, no one's happy with that. No one at all. You know, CL, coaching staff, batting staff, players, fans, everyone, you know. So we've been used to, you know, winning and doing well. We have to just take this on the chin. We have to dust ourselves down. We need to get workers, you know, very, very hard on the training ground with so many different players. I didn't actually want to keep making this. It's not an excuse. It's facts. But, you know, we have to learn and kind of like grow together and grow up quicker. You know, we know we've got some difficult games coming up, as everyone does. So, you know, we need to stick together, get back on the training ground, try and, you know, make amends.
There you go. We'll start on McGlynn Watch this season at 5 minutes 54 for one question and one answer. There we go. Do you know what? We didn't even have to bother doing this podcast today. We should just play out John's first answer to Adam's question. And shout out to Adam as well. Not the result we were looking for. No shit, Sherlock. I'm surprised.
I noticed that as well. You just feel like John would just wanted to say, like,
I thought John was going to come back at Adam there, just going, what the fuck are you talking about? Not the result we were looking for. There you go. Sorry, Adam. I think he said everything we've just talked about, Ross, there.
You know, he did. And you can see how I think he was more angry than disappointed. And I think. That's
not angry and disappointed. That's the only way out. So I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
I think he was. But
think he was angry?
I think he was
disappointed.
Angry.
I'm just angry.
Yeah, he's just angry. And listen, he's right. We've got used to winning, and I think you can look at that as a negative and say, oh well, we need to be more realistic. Fuck that. We're used to winning, right? Get back on the winning fucking board and go and get 3 points next week. There is no, you will get no prizes for feeling sorry for yourself. Just do better and get 3 points next week. And I know that's easier said than done, but the fans need to just do what they did yesterday. I know there was a few boos at half time and then there was a few at full time, right? I get it. But just whoever's at Motherwell, there'll be a bright good crowd at Motherwell, and they'll give it a good go as well. So it's, as he says, see what we can do.
Was he in a full time, Chris? Was he disappointed or angry?
I'm saying nothing. disappointed. no, but like what you're saying there, Ross, that the fans play a massive part of the way we play.
Yeah,
like the players talk about it, the manager talks about it. Every other week, like in the day, nobody wants to come into their work and feel underappreciated, like, and that's in all walks of life and work. But
yeah,
what the fans do to those players on that pitch on a Saturday is unreal. Like, I've said it previously, I could be standing at the dugout and my Apple Watch will ping up for being in a loud environment, and I think, this is amazing, man. This is unbelievable. And if the boys will talk about it in there, what about the fans today? Unbelievable. and they get so much off that.
Yeah, I mean, gate 20, we went at it constantly yesterday as well. So absolutely well played for them, and obviously the Tifo as well. But yeah, talk about the fans. Let's hear what you had to say. Paul kicks us off by saying, repeat of last year, struggled against a strong physical team. St Mirren had a lot of pace in the break, just couldn't handle it. Thank God for Bain's performance, or it could have been embarrassing. Hopefully we can address all this with further signings.
Yedelbern says, it was a bad day at the office. Some of the players clearly not up to speed yet. We were beaten at home twice by St Mirren last season. Let's see what happens in the next few weeks. Come on, you Bairns.
Phil says, absolutely wasteful. How Conor Allen didn't start for McMillan is beyond me. And again, McKeever, who again was a passenger, needs shipped out to a League One side, as he's clearly not good enough. Bit harsh. I did think Ross, I mean, he had moments and stuff yesterday. He obviously had that shot as well, a couple of shots at goal. But I do think, I thought Parkinson, when he came on, looked really lively. So I'll be interested to see if Ross starts actually next week.
Yeah,
I thought Parkinson might have started, but I think Ross might find himself on the bench next week. And Parkinson,
I think based on what we saw yesterday, I could see Ben starting up front. Ross did have a really good shot in the first half, and again,
he's hold up playing. His knock-ons were fine, but we just need a bit more. I think
it's these fine margins that John McGlynn mentioned as well. If they go in, the momentum swings your way, and if it doesn't, then they get a bit of a boost, and they certainly got a boost whenever we missed, or the goal getting chopped off as well.
Yeah.
Doogie Manson says, you need to make the opposition keeper work, and we're not doing that. Ayer, Alloa, and today their keepers could have sat on a seat watching the game. The ball doesn't always need walked into the net, as shots from outside the box are allowed.
Yeah. There was a lot of frustration. There was one or two occasions where, like, shoot! Fucking shoot! And you know, I think that John McGlynn's talked about that as well. Just more, I mean, you look at the shots, like we had 10 shots yesterday, one on target. Mental.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you. Elsa says, well beaten today, and Ben kept it respectable. We look unfit, and clearly still more work to do to get the new boys clicking. Sybil had too much to do in the midfield as only one getting on the ball. Need pace and width up top though. Thought Wadlaw showed he can mix it up physically.
I think she makes a point though. I think we missed Brad yesterday, and I know
Lion Man,
we won't have him for Motherwell either. But we need to. I think someone mentioned a shout about Conor Allen there potentially.
I think you put Finn. I think you drop Finn back in the midfield and get his legs in and around Sibs, and just get him to go and win the ball. I think McMillan got daundered a couple of times yesterday, got caught up on the ball a couple of times. You know, I don't think he had his best game. Came close to the shot early on, but I think maybe, you know, Yeats might come into to midfield next week as well. Again, there would be an option there to push Sybil up into the 10 as well. I mean, I don't know if Sibs has got the legs to play the 10, but look what Scott Arfield did when he played there with us in that role. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in midfield, because I do think we were struggling a bit there yesterday.
Yeah, Dan John called it out as well, didn't he? If you don't win the ball in the middle of the park, doesn't it get going? Ross Robertson says, the lack of real wingers is killing us. Doherty and Ross look to be our only options out wide, yet they both started on the bench.
I play football with Ross, so I'll pick that up with him tomorrow when I see him at the Sevens. Tam says, first 10 minutes, I thought, oh, here we go with some nice passes. Then came the first individual from which then we nosedived, getting progressively poorer as the game went on. Not the start we wanted, however, we are in transition and need to be patient. There's a big word for you, patience, I think. In the words of Take That, have a little patience.
And finally, AK says, Leon McCann and Conor Allen need to start.
There you go. There you go. There it is then. Here we go. Falkirk Daft rated, the first Falkirk Daft rated of the season, and the first Falkirk Dafty of the season. Let's go for Falkirk Daft rated first, shall we? I'll leave you at this, Chris, because they're all your pals, so you can't choose.
I've got one, but anyway.
Oh, good. He's getting off the fence. I love this. It'll be John. I love John. John McGlynn.
I thought Ryan Strain was really good yesterday.
Aye. He was excellent. He was really good. Yeah, I thought it's between him and it's Scott Bain for me, Ross. I don't know who you've got.
I'm going for Scott Bain as well, but a notable shout out to Ryan Strain. I thought Parkinson when he came on was lively as well, but Bain kept us in it. It could have been 3-0.
Sorry, Chris, I'm going to go with my podcast co-host.
I would go with Bain as well, to be fair, honest with you. Yeah. He's sublime. He's excellent.
Yeah, he just got off a couple of his kicks yesterday, but I thought, like, overall, like, the saves he made, and it's like that one when it was rolling, by the way, Ross, we were through. If that ball had went through, I think it was Laidlaw was up front, and I think we were through with that as well. So, Scott Bain for us. Let's go for a dafty, shall we? And I think I'm just, it's straight in for me as Duncan Nicholson.
Absolutely, yeah. It's as good as any. The only potential one that could have been is obviously someone that's decided to leave the sinking ship, which
is Chris
McGill, but
you can't see that. That's poor. That is poor. Do you know what? I'm gonna out on Dave Mack, because I didn't want that to get out. My phone blew up yesterday.
Oh, right, Miguel. Dave Mack for outing. Yeah, Dave Mack goes in as the dafty, actually, for outing Chris. Let's
best announcer in Scottish football, but yesterday he's done with me. Nah. Finished.
Done. But do you know what, Chris? Here we go. We've got a Hall of Fame in the Falkirk Daft Rated. And do you know who's going into the Hall of Fame? Chris fucking McGill.
No, that's a lie. That's what? A lie. It's Falkirk Dafty. That's the one. I'm not in the Hall of Fame for the Rated. It's the Dafty. You guys know it.
Do you know what? We'll wipe all your dafties from previous, because you've had a few. You've had a few. So there, wipe the queen. We'll wipe the slate queen on your dafties. And you know what? Chris McGill joins the Hall of Fame.
I'll take
best
that.
There is, the best there was, the best there ever will be as a kit man. So, Chris, honestly, like, thanks for coming on and joining us on the podcast. But before we go, before I let you go, it's Falkirk Daft versus.
Yeah.
And Ross messaged me earlier on saying, you're going to hate this quiz. So I know exactly what he's going to, I don't know what he's going to go for.
Well, listen, we've got the best kit man ever on, so it has to be kit-based questions, surely.
Oh, love that.
Right, oh, Jesus Christ. See, if I beat you at this, Chris, it's an absolute ready.
See, the thing is, this is a no-win situation for Chris McGill, because if he gets any of these wrong, that's a fucking ready.
Oh, no, don't. Listen, if I get these wrong, right, I'm telling you now, scrub me for the Hall of Fame, I'm done. Yeah.
This is like Falkirk at the group stage. It is a no-win situation. Yeah. We're either through as winners or we're out. So here we go. Right, if he's both got pens and paper or both.
Oh, I am.
I'm hoping.
Oh, no. My wife's done clean up. I'll just write it on my phone. You're right, see if I can get my wee notepad.
Right, get your notepad up on your phone. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so penalty style shootout, as always. It is kit-based. I'm not going too far back, Chris, so don't worry.
Thank God.
Don't worry. Okay, John, are you ready?
I'm looking for this. What would you call it? What do you call that on your phone?
Notes.
When you have to write something. It's like, no, I can write up my notes. Could I write up my notes? I was looking for I've got a wee scribble pad somewhere and I can't find it. See, when you got loads of apps on your phone, you're like, there we go. I found it. Freeform. There we go.
Do you know what? I've never been so nervous for my life. I am shiting myself.
Yeah, this is, you should be winning this, Chris. And if you don't, this is like Hearts being so close to winning the league. You can't throw it.
No, I'm shite at quizzes as well.
Right, so right. Question number one. I want to take you back, season 23-24, otherwise known as the League One season. Who wore shirt number 4? So, Invincible season, who wore shirt number 4?
Oh.
John, you should get this as well, actually.
The guard out.
Hold on.
So, we will come to John first.
He's Googling at me. Nah, he's
Googling. I'm not. I'm writing on my thing, look.
He's writing on his thing.
Right, I've got my answer, right, okay.
Okay, so Chris, are you shouting out or are you right? Have you written down as well?
I've written.
Perfect. Okay, so John, you show you're working.
Stephen McGinn.
You're saying, I can't see it says Stephen McGinn, but I'll take you one for it. Stephen McGinn is the correct answer. Well done, boys. 1-1.
Smart. In there.
I thought John Boyne might have went with someone else there. That
I know, because he was the someone else. He got this that shirt the season after.
Okay.
you probably snapped that shot and all.
Yeah, by the way, just asking for a friend. See any Tom Lang stuff you've got kicking about, Chris? Can I have it from a friend? Just asking.
I'll sort you out, my man.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Don't give him pants or anything because he will use them. Yeah. Question right. Number two.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to wear. Question number two. In the same season, who wore shirt number one? So in the same season, Who wore shirt number one? Chris, you cannot get this wrong. Oh. That will be embarrassing.
I've got an answer.
Oh, he's confident. He's straight in there.
I'm not.
Oh my God, this could be the quiz.
Oh,
how confident are you, John?
I'm now not so confident, but I wrote it down straight away.
Right.
Okay, so both got something written down?
Yeah.
Right. We'll call me Chris first time.
I'll just shout it out. Sam Long.
You said Sam Long?
I've went for Sam Long as well.
Sam Long is the correct answer, boys. We've got 2-2.
It's because Nicky changed. That's why. That
Nicky
got me thinking.
Was shot number 31. In my notes are right. Yep. Fabulous. Okay, 2-2. So we're moving forward. Season 24-25, i.e., the championship. Which two players wore the number 7 jersey that season? So in season 24-25,
fuck,
which is the championship season, which two players wore the number 7 jersey?
Spotted cigar.
Right, okay, I've got one. Championship.
Is it the obvious one you've got?
Oh.
Championship. right. No, it's not that, is it? It's not that, but I'm going to put it in. Shit, it's not, it's not.
I hope I don't get this wrong. Now I'm setting down myself.
Oh, who would it have been? Championship
season.
Right. I've written down, so I'm well off it. I'm miles off it.
John, we'll start with you then. Who are you saying?
I went for Alfie and Miller Thompson.
Wow, you've got the one I didn't think you'd get. Days. Holy shit. Right, Chris, tell him what the right answer is.
Callum Morrison.
And of course Miller
it was,
Thompson.
Fuck it was. Of course it was fucking Callum Morrison.
I was surprised you got Miller Thompson because I thought that was the tough
part. Oh, no, I've had one there. Alfie was 11, wasn't he?
Yes.
But
3-2.
Alfie's always been 11 since he came into the club and he's changed to 27 this year.
I know. That goes to tell a story itself, I think.
So 3-2.
My Guinean prince.
Question number 4.
Fuck, I'm reading myself.
In his time at Falkirk, how many squad numbers has Finn Yeats had? So in his time at Falkirk, how many squad numbers has Finn Yeats had?
Right, okay, I've got my answer. Okay, no.
Have you both got something written down?
I've got my answer.
So John, you need this to keep it going.
I know.
John, what you went for?
I went for 2 because I think he was 14, then he was 2, and then he went back to 14.
Okay. Chris McGill. Talk to us. What's your 3?
The 3 is when he came in as a trialist. I don't know his first one, but he came in as a trialist and didn't wear 2 or 14.
So, Chris McGill, you're wrong because
no chance. No chance.
We can only go with his official squad numbers.
No,
trials and pre-season don't count. So,
you're quite right, Ross. You're quite right. Trials do not count.
14. He then went to 2 and then back to 14. That's 2 numbers. No.
The equalizer.
I thought it was a trick question. It's 3. Because it is, it's 2 and 14. I knew it was 2, but I went with 3 because he was in a trialist forefront.
Trialists don't count. That's that. You know that.
Nah,
you know that, Chris. You know the rules.
That's a play on questions, mate. I don't like that.
Right, so here's a question. The lad who had the shite haircut, what squad number did you give him?
He was 38.
No, he never got one because he's not a player.
It was 38. And don't say that about him, man. David's a class boy. I like that.
But you'll admit he had shite hair.
I'm not saying none. Do you know what? He maybe had shite hair, right? But we don't care. But he smelled amazing.
Did he really?
Oh, he gave me his aftershave when he left. Unbelievable, this stuff.
He gave me his aftershave? He was only there for about 2 weeks and you managed to get his aftershave?
Aye. Brilliant. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Could you not have given him the number for where you went and got your hair done?
Oh.
What a dig that is. Right, come on.
Right, okay. So three. Now,
This is the cider.
I think you'll both get this, which means it'll go to the tiebreaker, okay?
I am fuming.
Question number five. Last season, two players wore the same shirt number. Who were they? So last season, two players wore the same shirt number. Who were they?
Do you want me to write this down?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
You've already answered this in a previous answer, John.
I know. I'm trying to think. I had that down, but I'm trying to think who got it after him.
Yeah, Falkirk Darth versus my backside.
I think I fucked it though.
Right, John, we'll come to you first. What you said?
Alfie Ambrosio.
Okay. Chris McGill?
Alfie Ambrosio
has got to the tiebreaker. Thank you, boys.
I didn't think of his Ambrosio either.
No, you don't need to write this down. I'll come to you for an answer.
No, I want a Shears inquiry on that. You've just gave him that.
Listen, we'll go to VAR. Wait now. Duncan Nicholson says, fuck yeah, we're going on. Okay. Oh, here we go. So, tiebreaker. Now, I'm looking, don't shout out. I'm just looking for one number from you, okay? So, tiebreaker. How many times did Scott Arfield pull on the number 37 shirt? As in his most recent spell, not right. Inclusive of any other.
Oh, I like how you elaborate on that question, eh? You like elaborating on that.
So how many times did Scott Arfield wear the 37 shirt in his most recent spell?
I'm
closest to... will win.
Right, okay, I've written the answer down.
Okay.
I'm going to go for... Right, Chris, you can barely tell.
I've not even written it down yet, so I was waiting for you to say something.
Chris, you write yours down.
You give me your guess, and I'll show mine.
Right.
Whoever's closest wins.
Do you know what? I'm just going to go with it.
Okay. John, we will come to you first.
I've written down 28.
You think 28? He was only here for 4 months, but you think 28 games?
What? No, he died, but he put. No, he was there at the start of the season as well, last season.
Okay, right.
Oh, I fucked it then, clearly.
Chris McGill.
To be fair, I've actually went with 24.
Well, you are both horrific. It was 13. Cheers, boys. It was 13.
I'll take that.
So, Chris McGill, play the strings, John. Chris
Jesus
McGill.
Jesus Christ.
Well done, boys. Well done.
Well, to be fair, he should have won. It was a good game, though.
Yes.
And you know that my weakness is usually squad numbers as well.
Aye, but we didn't think it was Chris's weakness.
See, in fairness, though, right? See, every week when you do the quiz, I go to myself, oh my God, how has he got that wrong?
Pressure, mate. It's a pressure. Brilliant. Chris, listen, thanks so much. I mean, I think from all supporters, you know, it's been an unbelievable like spell at the club. And hopefully, maybe you'll come back as like the CEO or something like that.
I mean, I'll take it. It's funny. I'll take it, pal.
Started as a kit man, he comes back as a CEO. What a journey that would be. I mean, look at what happened to Ross Wilson. Look at how his career progressed. He started off... in a, you know, working about, and then, you know, was player liaison, and then he's fucking running Newcastle. That'll be you one day. We'll be going, fuck, I knew Chris. Remember when Chris McGill came on the podcast and fucked up that shirt number quiz?
That's a player once. I don't like that.
Listen, he might come back as the third leg of the stool with all his grip socks money.
Aye, that's true.
Aye,
that's true.
See him grip stand.
Four, aye, and we can have the titties and nipples lounge at the top. That'll be better.
Brilliant. Chris, listen, thanks very much. The biggest loss as well, we're not going to have Chris on the team for the charity game. Now he'll be doing in Bolton. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's the loss, mate. That's a game.
Brilliant. Listen, thanks so much, Chris. Have, honestly, all the best way down at Bolton. You'll go down there and you'll smash it down there as you have at this club. And aye, like I say, we'll see you back as CEO one day.
Thank you very much, guys, and I appreciate you having me on. And do you know what, the journey's been amazing with you guys, and I've said it before, like, whenever I go down to Bolton and stuff like that, I'll always listen to the podcast, and I'll probably listen to the podcast on the way down on the car as well anyway, so that'll free up some time anyway.
Right, thanks, Chris.
Thank you,
thanks,
pal.
Guys,
what a guy, Chris McGill. He's going to be a massive miss at the club. You can just—he's so infectious and so—and you can just tell you know, John's talked about him so many times and what he does behind the scenes. And you know, we both smoke up his arse, but he really has, like, been a real important part of the journey. And I think all the players in that dressing room—Brad, Cole, Stephen—or reflect on that. You know, Hendo, all these guys that have been with Chris a long way. I mean, they'll be gutted that he's going, because he does. I think he does everything for him, and he does everything for the manager. And because he's a Falkirk supporter, it's not a job to him, is it? It's like a dream come true.
It's the dream job, isn't it?
I know. I'm just gutted he didn't recommend me. I would have quite happily come and made tea for John McGlynn. I'd be all right with that. I could have done the kit man thing. But no, it's brilliant to see hear from him, and you know, we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him. He's such a great guy. Such a great guy. Cool. Well, let's wrap tie a bow on this. Before we do that, though, thanks very much to the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. As I say, the charity game's going to come up. We're still waiting for the date. It's looking like it could be August the 22nd or 23rd that weekend, because that's the spare weekend that we have. So it'll be down at the stadium again. We'll just try to get a date nailed down, and we'll then put our team together. We're going to do it for Maggie's. I'm just waiting to hear back from Ian to find out what the situation is. But yeah, that weekend, I think it's the 22nd or the 23rd. We'll get that together, and we'll let you know about that. And if you want to join the Falkirk Football Fans and Training, you can do that. Get down to the stadium Wednesday, 8 o'clock till 9:30. You can have a game of football if you fancy it. We've got youngster section, 20s to 30s. You've got your academy section, 40s to 50s, and your legend sections. It was a bit slower, and that's kind of over 60s and what have you. But basically, it's a kickabout. If you've never played the game or want a game, it's not for aging ex-pros. It's just for a laugh and a kickabout. Make new pals, improve your outlook, help your mental health, playing the sport you love. And that's Falkirk Football Fans and Training. You can contact Dougie, Ian, or Hamish White for the youngsters. Details are below. Go through the Facebook, or just turn up on the night, Wednesday, 8 o'clock, at the community pitches down at the stadium, and you'll be welcomed with open arms. That's Falkirk Football Fans and Training, proud sponsors of Falkirk Daft. And thanks very much as well, again, to Furry Bairns, Rab and Danielle, for sponsoring this week's episode. Get down to Furry Bairns, and you can follow them on socials as well. Just type in Furry Bairns into Facebook and get them followed. And as I say, if you're a season ticket holder, you can get a discount at Furry Bairns. Just head on down there, purchase over £10 on the core range. You'll get sorted with that. Right, okay then, that's a bow tied on St Mirren. Onwards and upwards, hopefully. Motherwell next week, Ross. I think we're going to see changes on that side, that's for sure, next week.
Yeah, I think so too. Defensively, I think Ryan and Hendo and Dennis will probably keep their place.
I think McCann will be in for Tanza.
I'll get the nod for left back.
I think McMillan won't be in midfield. I think Finn Yates will be in midfield with Sybald.
I agree. I would agree with that.
I would bring Ethan Ross on either on the right or the left, and put your man Gardner into the hole.
Yeah, we may have Crowhouse back fit by then as well. I think we also need to remember there might be potentially two additions in that John McGlynn's talked about, so he is hoping to have them both in his own words, by Motherwell. So we may even see another couple of players join the squad then as well. And I think Ben Parkinson will get the nod.
That's the change. I would have Ross McCann and Parkinson in from the start next week. That'd be the changes I would make. But we will wait and see in John, we trust. It's 3 o'clock kickoff next Sunday. Don't know what's happening in the podcast. We may record it after the match. And as I say, Patreon. I've not mentioned the Patreon, have I?
Not today. No,
I've not. Patreon is starting. We've got to start our Patreon channel. So the links are below for that. So basically, it'll be £3 a month to sign up to our Patreon. There'll be a bonus episode on there each month where me and Ross are going to do our Falkirk Daft Ultimate Team, where we put together the ultimate team of Falkirk. We'll basically argue the toss between us and we'll put together over the season Falkirk Ultimate Team. Really looking forward to that. So it'll be a bonus podcast each month. You're going to get post-match reaction from myself right after the match. Immediate reaction, which we'll put up there. You'll get first chance to get tickets for Falkirk Daft. Date's coming very, very soon for that, so you'll get that. And I'm hoping you'll get early access to the episodes if I can get them turned around quick enough after we record them as well. So lots of stuff to offer on Patreon. The links for it are below. Join up and become part of the community. Patreon, because it'll be like there's obviously a chat board and stuff in Patreon as well, so you can have a bit of chat about the podcast as well and anything Falkirk on there as well. And remember, if you are wanting to do that as well, we've got our Discord channel as well, which you can sign up for below for the young team. It's just an app which is like a forum, and it's generally the young team that pile into it, and there's lots of abuse and stuff goes on. It's very fun to watch. I watch it from afar now. I have to go in as admin and clear things up, but it's generally all right. They generally take care of themselves. But yeah, that's all right. But remember, get us on Apple, wherever you get the podcast. We're on YouTube. If you're watching, you can listen. If you're listening, you can watch. All the links are up all for that as well. Do you know what, as well, is we need to speak to Gordon to get some more Falkirk Daft t-shirts up at Pints and Prints as well.
Yes, we've there's a few there. Got a 1876 one on the Gordon's today, actually.
Oh, yeah. But the Dafty one's my favourite. I've got that. You can get a Falkirk Dafty. You can get a Dafty in lots of alcohol forms. And somebody said, oh, I really like their t-shirt when I was in the shop the other day. I was like, oh, thanks very much. This Dafty that's written in various alcohol forms. So, yeah. Right, cool. That's it. Anything to add before we go, Ross?
No, I don't think so. Just listen, everyone, let's get to Motherwell. Bag the team as we always do, and we'll hopefully come back with 3 points. And as always, expect unexpected.
We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's caring about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.